Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Giannis sees four defenders between him and the rim, but he says, that's not going to stop me. He lays it in through contact with a foul, and the lead is now 17.
Bucks Talk starts now.
And the Bucks will snap the three-game losing streak tonight with a 126-106 win.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia.
Three-game losing streak is over. Kind of difficult to find much to take from this one, especially in terms of the defense. For this Bucks group, you're going up against the Lakers team without LeBron James, without basically every big on the roster. But it meant this was a game you really needed to win because of the schedule that sits in front of you. Because you need to snap a three-game losing streak as well. But again, starting this weekend, Pacers, to date, your biggest game of the season. Then the very next night, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Then you hit the road, go out west for five games, including a game against these Lakers. So this is the meat of that schedule that we touched on being so difficult for the Bucks. It was imperative to get this one tonight, and that's exactly what they did. And now you get a chance of revenge, or chance for revenge, against those Indiana Pacers on Saturday night. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Pacers were idle tonight, too, so you're a half game up on Indiana. And as we mentioned, the Pistons lose. So you're two games up in the loss column on the Pistons and a game overall in the standings, but it brings us to the PSA that I'll put out there every year, this time of year, several times throughout the course of the year. Look at losses. Once we get really any point throughout the season, if you're scoreboard watching, but especially now, look at the losses. That's what matters most. You can continue to add wins. The losses are there. You can't remove them. You can't do anything with them. So tracking where teams are with losses is the important part in the standings. And for the Bucks, they're now two games up in the loss column on the Detroit Pistons. The hope is those two games at the end of the season are irrelevant, your final two games of the regular season, that you've already distanced yourself from Detroit. Maybe you've done the same against Indiana, though I suppose we'll know a lot more about that come Saturday night. But tonight the story was the ball movement for the Bucks. Another 30-assist game. 41 made field goals. The ball was moving all night long. Giannis and Dame combined for 19 assists. That's something that's been notable in these past handful of games here. The way those guys have moved the ball around, the open looks that it creates when you touch paint and you have guys that are unselfish and look for their teammates, you got to hit those shots. And as Doc Rivers said, we didn't hit shots against the Indiana Pacers. That was one of these stories. But the trends we've noticed here with this group of late, the ball movement and points in the paint starting to rise. There's a very big reason behind the points in the paint starting to increase for the Bucks. I think we all know what it is. And it's not just Giannis. So we'll get into that conversation, but plenty of time to hear from you tonight as well. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll get into what's changed with the points in the paint in this Bucks offense as a whole. Coming up next on Bucks Talk.
From Dame up top to Sims, who sends it down with a thunderous two-hand slam and a great 1-2 punch there. Starting to see that more often. Jericho Sims, he's a winner.
Jericho Sims, a pair of dunks tonight. 11 rebounds from Jericho Sims. And we mentioned this in passing towards the end of the broadcast, but I don't know how much we discover in regard to Jericho Sims if it were not for the 25-game suspension to Bobby Portis. So obviously you would have loved to have not had that 25-game suspension hanging over you, but it did seem to open up the door for Doc Rivers to get a look at Jericho Sims and see some groupings that you can play him in. And again, find that versatility that we heard that word brought up over the summer when constructing this roster by both Doc Rivers and John Horst. Versatility, we got to be able to play different ways. And I've talked about this countless times, but I think we took that to mean one thing that it did not, about making one individual personnel change. It spoke to the team. We have to be able to play different styles. We need a defensive big. We need a guy like a Brook Lopez that can stretch the floor. You need a big like a Bobby Portis that can be instant offense off the bench as well. Jericho Sims has given you a completely different dimension as he's a big that we've seen, I think, impressive rim protection, more so than I thought he was going to bring to this team. You knew about his athleticism and ability to rim run, but his ability to play on the perimeter and switch defensively, I don't know what the expectations in terms of playoff minutes for Jericho Sims are, and I certainly don't think it's anything more than 8 to 10 minutes that you should be expecting, especially once Bobby Portis comes back. And that's the elephant in the room. What does that mean for the rest of these guys? It's a good problem to have to reintroduce Bobby Portis into the mix, and it means that minutes are probably pared down or potentially removed for some players. But we've spent so much time these last couple games, especially talking about Bucks need this consistent third score, and that's another one that can be misconstrued at times. When I say that, I don't think it has to be the same guy every night. You just consistently need somebody to be hitting shots. And when you look at how this roster has been filled out, it was probably slept on and dismissed at the time when the Bucks made this trade, and it's easy to look at it too, and maybe you're not convinced yet. It's easy to look at it from afar and say, well, you traded Chris Middleton for Kyle Kuzma? That's the return that you got, and compare some of the numbers. You look back at what Chris Middleton did in that series against the Indiana Pacers last year, and especially now that we're having this conversation of, well, where's the consistent third score or scoring going to come from outside of Giannis and Damian Lillard? It's easy to point back to that and say, well, you had this guy named Chris Middleton who could have done that. But up and down this list, all three of those guys that the Bucks added to the group at the trade deadline, we are seeing production from all of them, and you've seen how it's allowed the Bucks to play differently and reshaped their roster on the fly. It's still not a massive sample size, but it's no longer to the point where this is a small sample size that we're looking at either. Jericho Sims, the guy that it seemed like every Bucks fan really, really wanted to see, and now you're getting your look at him. I think it's lived up to the hype, or at least the hope, of what you thought he could bring to the mix. Kyle Kuzma, at the time of the trade, I don't know how many Bucks fans would have suggested, hey, you know where this is going to pay off the most? Defensively. I think you were looking for just a two-way player, somebody that can give us better defense and give us some more versatility and more ability to switch, especially if you play him at the four. Maybe you could play Giannis at the five, and then you could have a 1-5 switching group. Kyle Kuzma's a guy that we saw go on a run with the Lakers 5 years ago in the bubble and hit threes and be a 3-and-D player. That was very critical and instrumental in their run to that championship. The offense, and Doc talked about this after the Pacers game, he talked about it a little bit after tonight as well, that look, when you make these trades and you bring guys in, you typically see a little bit of an impact early, and then it can kind of tail off, and you have guys that are just trying to fit in. He's mentioned with Kyle Kuzma specifically fitting in, and that's not what we need. Just be you. We'll figure out the rest around you. And I think it's interesting because that's the exact same thing that Doc Rivers said would be his suggestion last year when he was not the coach of the Bucks, when he was Doc Rivers, the media personality, the guy that was calling games with Mike Breen, that was a regular on Bill Simmons' podcast, and he routinely said, hey, what stands out to you about the Bucks when you get asked that question? Well, Dame looks like he's trying to fit in. And guys like Dame, you know, I've experienced that before with moves that you make either in the season or coming into the season where you drastically change things. Guys have a tendency when they're new in that situation to just try to fit in. Let's not rock the boat, right? Don't be the squeaky wheel here. Let's just see where can I get mine and then fit in. And Doc's point with that was, you know, a guy like Damian Lillard, we don't need you to fit in. We'll fit in around you. To a lesser extent, Kyle Kuzma. But that's been his big message of late is don't try to fit in. You know, do what you think works. whether that be playing on the fast break, the cuts that Kyle Kuzma's made, and some of those looks that it's opened up. That's another thing that I think has really started to push the assist numbers for the Bucks. Is their cutting in Kyle Kuzma and just the attention that that draws. If you're moving towards the basket, you got to account for that guy. And we saw at least three instances tonight. One was Kyle Kuzma. One was Giannis. I can't recall who the other one was. But guys, cutting into the lane, when you have the ball near the elbow there, get the defense to at least react, and it opens up an open three behind that cutter. So they're continuing to work things like that and creating those open looks. But Kyle Kuzma's been terrific defensively. And again, these types of games, it's tougher to have wholesale takeaways when you look at the Lakers roster and see not only who was out there, but who was not out there. They didn't have bigs. I know Alex Len played. You had to dust off Christian Koloko, who's been out of the rotation. We saw Markieff Morris at the very end of this game. The bigs weren't there for the Lakers. And you could say, well, the bigs aren't there, period. But still, Rui Hachimura is a connector. Jackson Hayes, much like the conversation we had about Jericho Sims, he's a rim roller. And with Luka Doncic, we saw a couple of instances early in this game. That's all he needs. Just give me a big that can run the floor and leap, and I'll put it up there for him. So they're down some big pieces. And oh, by the way, some guy named LeBron James. So it's really tough to look at this and say, well, I was impressed with how the Bucks defense did this, this, and this. Saturday night's going to be your bigger test in that regard. But what did stand out was opening up the third quarter, we saw one of the changes the Bucks made was going to Kyle Kuzma as the defender on Luka Doncic. And you go back to that game against the Indiana Pacers. Taurean Prince started the game as the initial defender on Luka Doncic. In that Pacers game, Taurean Prince was the guy that was responsible for Tyrese Halliburton for large portions of that game. And even going back to that final play, Taurean Prince talked about that as well. He was my guy, and we just kind of we had a miscommunication, and we got lost on it. That led him to be open. Doc Rivers himself said, I'm still trying to figure out how it was a foul on Giannis, but nonetheless, Giannis goes out there for the contest and the closeout. It's a foul. Pacers win the game. So making that switch just to say, all right, let's see if Luka gets slowed down a little bit by Kyle Kuzma. And I think he did, and that's what stood out the most about Kyle Kuzma, his ability to play vertically, horizontally. He can switch onto guys. His length that just makes things challenging, that's the big thing you want. Just be able to hold up defensively, lead to some wins in terms of defensive possessions when you're on the floor, and then get out on the break and start running. You look at the numbers in terms of shooting, it wasn't a great shooting season for Kyle Kuzma coming into this. The hope is, look, the more he works through it, the more those shots start to fall, and you're going to get open looks, especially once you get into the playoffs. But in the meantime, just be a factor defensively and get out on the break, and we have seen that from Kyle Kuzma. So he has been a massive boost for this team. We mentioned what Jericho Sims is bringing, and the last name is Kevin Porter Jr., who I'm sure Bucks fans might have needed to have been sold on. Kevin Porter Jr., I think, has done everything you could have asked and has given this Bucks team so far elements they have not had before. When you talk about a guy running the second unit offensively and his ability to play at his own pace. Tonight helped that he was hitting threes and he was getting to the free throw line, but we're starting to routinely see more and more of Kevin Porter Jr. being a consistent scoring threat for this team. I think the big thing with KPJ is going to be the turnovers. If he can control those, more often than not, he tends to have a very significant impact on this game in his minutes that he's out there. So continuing to see that grow, and it's just giving the Bucks more dimensions that they did not have a season ago. I mean, we can pull up where the rotation was at a season ago, even at this point. It was right around this time on the calendar last year that it really started to feel like, all right, the Bucks are they're starting to get into a good space here. I like where this is headed. March 13th is today's date. March 12th and 14th is when the Bucks played a season ago, but on March 14th, They beat the Philadelphia 76ers here Thursday night at Fiserv Forum to improve to 44-24. 20 games above 500. They have not been there at all this season, but they were 20 games above 500 at this point last year. They beat the Phoenix Suns a couple of days later on that St. Patrick's Day game. And then they go to Boston, a close, tight loss. You felt good about that. A couple of days later came that game where you really manhandled the Oklahoma City Thunder here at Fiserv Forum. And that was probably the peak of where you were starting to feel like this works. We're starting to see the defense fall into place. You like what you saw in that game against the Thunder. It just feels like this team is moving in the right direction. And then before you know it, you had a four-game losing streak. You did beat the Boston Celtics the game after that, but that's the game where you lost Giannis. And the season was never the same, and you were never able to recover from that point forward. Obviously, the Damian Lillard health in the playoff series as well. But you know, last year, just for reference, when we look back at, hey, here's how this team is different. Here's what we mean by that. Here's the versatility and different looks they're able to throw out there. Last year in that game against the Sixers, I mentioned that, you know, was 1 year ago today. Jay Crowder in the starting lineup, your starters against the Sixers in that game. Giannis, Dame, Brooke Lopez, Pat Beverly, and Jay Crowder. It's indisputable. It's a better starting five that you have from that group. Your bench. Pat Connaughton played 29 minutes. A.J. Green played 28 minutes. Bobby Portis played 21 minutes. Danilo Gallinari played 5 minutes. Like, that was the group for the Bucks. You compare that to what we saw tonight, where your bench was Kevin Porter Jr., Gary Trent Jr., Jericho Sims, giving you a different dimension athletically on the defensive end. A.J. Green played 21 minutes. You don't have Bobby Portis. You're going to work him into the mix as well. Starting lineup and bench, both significant upgrades from where they were a season ago. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk as they end the three-game losing streak and now get set for a big one Saturday night against the Indiana Pacers. We'll go through the details and the particulars you need to know about that matchup after this on Bucks Talk.
He lets it fly, and it is his fifth three-pointer of the night. Kevin Porter Jr. has the feel tonight. It is working for him here against the Lakers on this Thursday night, and the Bucks go ahead again by 20.
Bucks end up winning this game tonight by 20. 126-106 final score here inside of Fiserv Forum. They snap the three-game losing streak and now get set for a huge game with the Indiana Pacers on Saturday night. Again, we'll set the table for that matchup momentarily. Do want to have a very specific conversation about Bobby Portis as well, but plenty of time to hear from you on the show here. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us. Let's head to the phone lines and check in with John on the east side. You're up first.
Hey, Justin, how you doing?
Good.
You know, I mean, obviously very happy that they won tonight, you know, to stop the
slide.
Seems
like there's a buck coming.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you can take too much out of it just because of the injuries that the people that had the Lakers had out, but obviously it's a game that you should win. But, you know, one thing that I would like to start seeing if they can, you know, if there is enough time to incorporate it is, you know, and the Lakers didn't do it tonight because they don't have, I don't think they have the pieces to do it, but it seems like Dame has to work really, really, really hard to get his shots. And I would really like to see some different combinations of, you know, the pick and roll or the pick and pop than what they've been running. You know, it'd be nice to see every once in a while maybe use Prince a little bit more, you know, start to incorporate it with Kuzma. You know, if they are going to stick with this KPJ and Dame backcourt, you know, maybe even having Porter Jr. bring the ball up and then having a pick and roll or pick and pop situation with Dame as the screener. But it just seems like, you know, and I think they said it, you know, at the end of the Indiana game that Dame was, you know, really tired at, you know, at the game when he played for Indiana. Like, he has to work so hard to get his shot that sometimes I think that's a big factor in those games that he does go 4 for 14, you know, 4 for 15. So I would love to see them try to incorporate a way to make the game a little bit easier for him offensively because of the fact of him getting picked up so much in the screen game that they've got going now. I don't know if Brooke or Giannis are necessarily holding the screens well enough or long enough to give Dame an option to get an easier shot off of the pick.
Yeah, it's one of the more important things to keep an eye on going into the playoffs too, because I don't have a problem with this being the construction that, hey, we put all of our eggs in the Giannis and Dame basket and our role players need to hit open shots. But that's the big change, is the security blanket of sorts that you had in Chris Middleton as that third scorer, where if Dame was not even taken out of the game, but just things were made difficult, as we've seen more and more of, you at least have that guy to lean on. I think that's a big reason why we've seen Kevin Porter Jr. on the floor with him at the same time. At first, it was just a substitution where he would play and lead the second offense, and he'd play in those minutes where Dame was off the floor. I think the only thing, and I agree overall with most of what you said. Thanks for the call, John. I think the only thing with Kyle Kuzma, I'd like to see more of that as well. He has the ball-handling ability, but I think part of it is, you know, Doc has talked about, he just, like, get back to being Kyle Kuzma. Don't worry about fitting in. And for whatever reason, of late, we've seen Kyle Kuzma is missing shots at the rim. I mean, it's going to be tough in terms of pick and pops, too, because Kuzma's a guy you would think most of the opposition is going to say, we'll leave him open and we'll let him take that shot. So he's going to have to consistently hit it, but he does have the ability to create some of those looks as well with putting the ball on the floor. But, yeah, I think that's one of the things that stands out, not just from that Pacers game. Certainly, as we both said, not a whole lot to take from this one because of the personnel for the Lakers. But we've just seen more and more of it where teams are geared up for, let's take Dame out of this. And I know Giannis is shooting close to 50% on his mid-range attempts. Let's see if he can do that again tonight. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Take one more call here. Matt in Milwaukee, you're up next.
Hey, Justin, how's it going?
Good.
Good. As we see the progression of KPJ, we've been, like, yearning for youth in, like, athleticism. And, you know, obviously, like, when, like, A.J. Green came across, he had an NBA skill, which was, like, three-point shooting. Yeah. So he fit in, you know. But with KPJ, like, he almost has a NBA player set of skills, like, you know, does not shy away from the moment. At any point, does that reflect differently than, like, a surefire, like, you know, like A.J. Green can hit threes, but this guy is kind of a different kind of quantity? Do you think one of those affects the other one? Because obviously, like, with KPJ, he has a player option, which he will probably turn down and could ask for some money, but just what we're seeing right now is, I feel like, more than we asked for, and as we're learning more about him, do we change kind of our plans to fit him into the mold as we, you know, keep going?
It's a good question. Thanks for the call, Matt. I think it's still TBD. I mean, you mentioned he's exceeded expectations. I don't know what the expectations were for him, to be honest. Like, that was by the way, the Bucks also did this in terms of the order of events at the trade deadline. And I think it was obviously met with some skepticism by some Bucks fans, not because of Kevin Porter Jr., the player. Although, I will say this, the version that the Bucks have had this season has been much different than how Kevin Porter Jr. was playing with the Los Angeles Clippers. Those numbers would suggest he was really struggling throughout the course of the season in terms of his efficiencies. That's changed. And maybe a big piece of that is you got Giannis and Damian Lillard playing next to you, and we've seen more and more minutes that he's on the floor with those two guys. But I don't want to assume things with guys, and especially when you say you try to do the dangerous game of, well, winning is actually more important than this. You mentioned he has a player option. He does. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. And I think It may come down to how he plays and looks in the playoffs. You know, if he has a moment like tonight, for example, where you just have one of those games where Kevin Porter Jr. shows you still capable of doing this, puts up 20 to 25 points in a playoff game and swings things for the Bucks, I'm going to be curious to see what the interest around the league is. There's no denying the talent, his athleticism that he brings. I mean, there were two plays in this game in the first half where I have no idea how the Bucks retained the ball, and it ended up resulting in a Kevin Porter Jr. three on both ends. There's a lot to like about his game offensively. Defense is going to be the important part, defense and not turning the ball over. And as Doc said today, you know, he's getting there defensively. Like I think he's developed a pretty good understanding of what it is we want from him and need him to do on that end of the floor. And the point I was going to make before about, you know, it's dangerous to assume things and to say, well, obviously a player would like to be playing next to Giannis and Damian Lillard and would like to win for a quote-unquote winning team. But Kevin Porter Jr. himself basically said that. When he said, you know, I just, for lack of a better phrase, I want to feel wanted. I want to be somewhere where that team also wants me to be there. And, you know, being here and being around these guys, I've never played on a winning team like this. And that's what I've been searching for. Kyle Kuzma said similar things, too. It does matter. So it is going to be interesting to see what happens with Kevin Porter Jr. Because, frankly, if he picks up his player option, based on what we've seen here, it's a bargain to get that type of productivity for a guy that you know, for more or less, what you can expect coming off the bench to be at around the veteran minimum level that he's making. To get that type of productivity, that was the other big piece about reshaping this roster. I mean, as much as we all love Marjon Beauchamp, the person especially, Marjon Beauchamp wasn't in your rotation, and you had already declined his fourth-year player option. So in doing that, sure, you could have signed him in the offseason, but teams don't do that. When you decline the player option, you're moving on. You got Kevin Porter Jr. for a player that was out of your rotation and didn't have a future with this team going forward. Maybe it was, hey, we'll take a lottery ticket on this. We'll see if we can catch lightning in a bottle. But so far, it's worked out pretty well for the Bucks. 855-616-1620. The number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So long story short, I don't really have an answer yet. I think we need to see how it looks in the playoffs to start to see what's the fit here. I mean, so far, based on what you've seen, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't love to have Kevin Porter Jr. here in a similar role this season, next season, and beyond. But the playoffs will certainly guide you on a lot of that. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I mentioned the big game with the Indiana Pacers. We will take a look at that. And also, I do want to mention a Bucks fan that I got a chance to know through the years, and had a chance to meet in person for the first time at a live show that we did a couple of summers ago, who was here tonight, sitting courtside for a very interesting reason. If you're active on social media, I know you know who he is. I do want to send a shout-out his way. We'll get into that coming up after this. 126-106 final score here inside of Fiserv Forum. Bucks take down this version of the Lakers. No LeBron James, no Jackson Hayes, no Rui Hachimura. Already an undersized team as it is, but down their regulars there, and of course down LeBron James. It's a very, very interesting stretch of schedule coming up here for the Lakers. Not to turn this too much into about the Lakers, but you don't see schedules like this anymore. Under the new collective bargaining agreement, the Lakers are playing 6 games in 8 days. They have 3 sets of back-to-backs, one after another. So they play tonight. They fly to Denver tonight to play the Nuggets tomorrow night. Then they have Saturday off. They play Sunday afternoon, then Monday evening, then Tuesday off. Then they play Wednesday against the Nuggets once again, and then Thursday night against the Bucks. So it is quite a stretch that the Lakers are going through right now. They came into play today fourth in the Western Conference. Same story as the Bucks. But the difference is, if you're the Bucks, never say never, but you feel pretty good, you're going to be 4, 5, or 6. It's a lot to make up to get up to third. It's a lot for the Hawks to make up to catch you. That is not the same story for the Los Angeles Lakers in the Western Conference, how tight the standings are there as we look at things. Right now, with the loss, the Lakers are a game back of the Denver Nuggets for third in the Western Conference. They're 40-25 now. And the Minnesota Timberwolves are 38-29. So that's the seventh seed. So you can slide all the way down there. That's the thing they're most concerned with. So that's where you're seeing, okay, all these back-to-backs. Remains to be seen whether or not LeBron James is going to play in that Thursday game next week, but it also remains to be seen how things look for the Lakers and if you see more urgency in those games of this 6 games in 8 days stretch. Like, so far we've gone 1-4, something along those lines of we need to press to get guys out there. So that's going to be interesting to follow along next week. I do want to touch a little bit on Bobby Portis and him being the missing piece for this group that you're still waiting to introduce back. You're now more than halfway through the suspension for Bobby Portis. He will be back for the final 4 games of the regular season in time for those final 4 games. So that'll be the New Orleans Pelicans, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the 2 games with the Detroit Pistons. But long story short, I think you can make a case Bobby Portis is that third guy or one of those options as the third guy to score and the role that he's fit for this bench. And you haven't had that. You know, you talk about Kevin Porter Jr. and what he's done, carrying a lot of that bench productivity. I think Gary Trent Jr. has been fantastic all season. Maybe not so much in the first 10 games or so when he was in a bit of a shooting funk. But defensively, I think he's been what you expected. We knew he was a bit of a gambler. You knew he could come away with steals and put pressure on the ball. We've seen that. Gary Trent Jr. is another guy that he seems to have really started to hit the most clutch shots for the Bucks so far this season. Or not clutch per se in terms of how the NBA defines it when it's a 5-point margin in the final 5 minutes. But just those big moments where it's, man, you really need a bucket here. Gary Trent Jr., more often than not, has been the guy hitting those shots. But Bobby Portis has been the constant of that bench where it has been like clockwork. Not only knowing Bobby Portis is going to be on the floor with his durability, but essentially knowing what he's going to give you. And the Bucks have been missing that. So I am very curious to see what happens to the offense when Bobby Portis returns and if that consistency goes up a level. You know, to have, we know we can expect this from BP, and now we're starting to expect it from not only Gary Trent Jr., but Kevin Porter Jr. as well, that we're getting that scoring, and we have enough defense around these guys. That was the big issue last year, was limit liabilities, right? I've said this time and time again. Limit your liabilities. So if you got 2 or more liabilities on the floor, on either end of the floor, it's not sustainable. Teams find ways to attack that, either with their offense or if you got non-shooters on the floor. Teams are going to figure out, we can leave that guy. We're going to play the rest of the guys 5-on-4, or worse, if it's multiple. So you have to limit the liabilities you're putting out there on the floor at any given moment. Bucks have done a great job of doing that this season. And at the trade deadline, the moves they made, I think it addressed it even more. We talked about individual defenders and how much better it was this season versus last year. But athleticism and what that in turn does for your team defense has changed, and you've limited those liabilities. I think that's important to not lose sight of if you are going to push back on some of the defensive questions about Bobby Portis. I'll readily admit those do exist. And let's not forget, we saw in that series against the Brooklyn Nets in 2021 when the Bucks won a championship, Bobby Portis wasn't in the rotation for the back half of that series. But he was back against the Hawks. He was back against the Phoenix Suns. You had the personnel that you could play differently, and you could play based on the matchup. Maybe this game or this series, in that case, doesn't make sense for Bobby, but the next one does. I think you're getting back to that point now, where you have some of those names. And as we said, it's not to say Jericho Sims is going to be a major playoff contributor, but you have that ability to throw a guy out there. If it's we need more switchability out there, and I don't know that these minutes fit for Bobby Portis, you have other options. But you've limited those liabilities, and you've increased your overall team defense and the individual defenders on the floor. So getting that scoring punch back, especially with this ball movement, and making sure that continues, I am very curious to see how and if that swings the Bucks offense or continues to push it forward here in this final stretch of the season, because we've talked about this elsewhere too. The fourth quarter numbers at this point for how deep we are, it is what it is. I think for the case of that and the clutch numbers, you really just have to look at how have they been since February 12th. That was the final game you played before the trade deadline, so maybe it's a little, or before the All-Star break. It may be a little bit of cherry picking, but that was a win against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and it was a part of a win streak for the Bucks where things started to look different on both ends of the floor. So, yeah, the raw, the aggregate numbers throughout the course of the season may not be where you want them to be, but what about since that date? That's the area. Those are the numbers to keep an eye on going forward. I mentioned there was a very special Bucks fan in attendance tonight. I do want to get to that story and take a closer look at the Indiana Pacers and answer some questions after this on Bucks Talk. 126-106 final here. Bucks snap the three-game losing streak. They beat the Lakers. Now get set for a huge one Saturday night against the Indiana Pacers. We'll get to that game and answer a couple of questions in just a moment. But I do want to call attention to someone that was here today sitting courtside at this game. You probably saw him in the very snazzy Bucks windbreaker that he was wearing. But I got a chance to meet the man we all know as Justin Superbuck a couple of years ago when he came to Milwaukee for a live podcast taping that myself and my friends Frank Madden, Eric Name, Kane Pittman, and Camille Davis all recorded for a different show. And I got a chance to meet Justin for the first time that night and get to know him. His story, his Bucks fandom, have gotten to know him through the years as well. And he was sitting courtside tonight for something he's calling YOLO March, because he just days ago learned he has a brain tumor and is going to have to undergo brain surgery in about 5 weeks from now. So if you are active on social media, Bucks social media, you have undoubtedly seen the work of Justin here with some of the pieces that he's put together and video montages. He is the man that gave us the Chris Middleton nickname of Moist Jordan, and certainly a big piece of Bucks fans across everyone that this touches here, especially on social media. So a very, 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 very good guy and important member of the Bucks social media community who's going through a tough stretch right now, but very happy to see him get this one in, get the win, and to get a chance to have the experience that he did tonight. So certainly our thoughts are with Justin at this time, and let him know on social media, same as well, that you're thinking of him and supporting him. At Justin Superbuck. I mentioned the one with the Pacers Saturday night is a very big one. It is going to determine the tiebreaker. So the Bucks win, they will win that tiebreaker by way of head-to-head record, going 3-1 against the Pacers. If they lose, they will lose the tiebreaker because the Indiana Pacers will be guaranteed to finish with a better divisional record, and that's the next one in the tiebreaker pecking order. So, I mean, it goes without saying, it's the biggest game of the season right now for the Bucks. When you look at those two teams at 4-5 in the Eastern Conference standings and what rides on that one, it makes that game Tuesday night all the more frustrating, but you got a chance to get this one back. And it, just as we said, I don't know what the takeaways from this one are because of who wasn't on the floor for the Lakers. There's no reason to believe that's going to be the case on Saturday night, but it is night two of a back-to-back for the Pacers, who are in Philadelphia tomorrow night to take on the 76ers. Before we wrap this one up, what questions do we have out there, Matt?
All right, Justin. Playoff theme here for these few questions for you with the themes of tonight. You mentioned Bobby Portis a little bit earlier. Doc Rivers mentioned he was excited to have him come back with the success his bench has had with Kevin Porter Jr. Are you concerned at all with the idea that there's only four games for Bobby to be reintegrated with Kevin Porter Jr. in the new-look bench unit before the playoffs get underway?
Overall, no. Just because of Bobby's chemistry with the rest of the group. Although, that part is dwindling more and more each year. We made the joke somewhere else that, before you know it, we're going to look back at that 2021 championship team and just see, wow, so Giannis and Pat Connaughton are the only ones left, huh? We're fastly approaching that territory. I think you know what to expect from him, and I don't think, as we've seen from Bobby Portis from day one here in Milwaukee, there isn't that everything that Doc talked about with Kyle Kuzma. Don't worry about fitting in. And I don't mean this in a bad sense. There's never been that with Bobby Portis. So it may be, not clunky, but just not optimized that first game or two. But I don't have any deep concerns over it.
Sure. Yeah, I think I am in alignment with you there. But we've talked about, the first round is not the cupcake series it was a few years ago, when you were the one or two seed. In terms of Kevin Porter Jr. and thinking of the playoffs, trying to predict and look ahead, you have to imagine his role will be slightly different, not getting quite as many fourth quarter minutes as he is now. What do you think that's going to look like with him in the postseason alongside Dame and Giannis?
I don't know because he played 17 minutes tonight.
Did a lot in him.
Yeah, in terms of sub of the game, Kevin Porter Jr. was far and away the sub of the game to score 22 points in those 17 minutes. It's probably somewhere around there, 13 to 15 minutes that you would look for from him. But I think the primary job is going to be, we've also seen those goalposts kind of move. It was always early in the second quarter, early in the fourth quarter. Now we've seen it earlier in the first quarter that he comes into the game. But I think it's really second quarter minutes. And then however this game is being played, maybe it's only a couple of minutes in the third quarter or early fourth quarter. But the game is going to dictate things. If Kevin Porter Jr. is the guy that you're keeping out there alongside Damian Lillard because you like what he's brought defensively and his ability to hit those mid-range shots, which Doc Rivers is quick to remind us, look, the mid-range game gets so overblown when people talk about the death of the mid-range, and you got to get rid of those shots because those are the shots that win playoff games. And that's the importance of Giannis working on it. J.J. Redick talked about that before the game tonight, too, of if Giannis is going to be hitting not only mid-range shots, but just running offense through the elbow like he does, it's tough to defend because you can't bring over quite as much help and you're leaving yourself exposed if you do. So all these things are gradual changes that the Bucks have started to make to get themselves in a better spot for the playoffs. And, again, I just go back to with Kevin Porter Jr. and all these guys. Last year you only played one way because that was all you could do. And you played guys because that was all you had. We just mentioned a year ago today what the rotation was. When you look, Jay Crowder was starting. Pat Beverly was starting. Pat Connaughton played 30 minutes off the bench. And you look at how different it is now, and you look at guys that didn't even see floor time. How much we liked what we saw from Ryan Rollins, you only saw him in garbage time tonight. Andre Jackson Jr. went from starting to out of the rotation. That's another piece of, if we need defense and energy, kind of like that Thanasis role that we saw for years throughout the playoffs, we'll throw Andre Jackson Jr. out there. So I think with Kevin Porter Jr., I think you know what the baseline is going to be in terms of his usage in the playoffs, and the game and the flow of the game is going to dictate the rest.
Last one for you here. Again, kind of on the playoff theme, but also relating to tonight. In every headline of this game, it's going to say Luka Doncic scored 45 points. He was ridiculous in a lot of aspects. That step back on Brooke from the free throw line was insane. Defensively, you've mentioned a lot that they're top 10 analytically. How do you feel overall, specifically about the defense, when it comes to playoff time and every team you play is going to have that superstar type of player?
I feel good about, I mean, like, look at it now. If we assume your first round matchup is the Indiana Pacers, that game 2 days ago certainly felt like a playoff game. The Bucks made some mistakes defensively. I'm not going to argue otherwise. So I'm going to be curious to see what adjustments are made in this one. Torian Prince is a guy that is certainly worth keeping an eye on in this game on Saturday night. He was the guy that Doc Rivers put on Tyrese Halliburton. Does that change? You know, do you look at what we saw tonight where Kyle Kuzma opened up the second half, taking Tyrese Halliburton? The challenge there is, okay, then who do you put Torian Prince on? Do you put him on Aaron Nesmith in the starting lineup or what? But I do wonder if we see Kyle Kuzma start to take on more of those assignments. I'm still going to die on this hill that Brook Lopez remains a very good and effective defender and rim protector, and the Bucks are just a better team in those minutes that he's on the floor, especially when he has capable defenders in front of him where you can funnel things into him. Giannis, I think, has certainly taken his defense up a level this season. Damian Lillard has been better and active on the defensive end as well, and that's the big piece is it was not the case last year. I mean, we can point to Pat Beverly of how much he changed things and changed the defense for the Bucks, but it was an aged version of Pat Beverly. It was not Clippers or Rockets Pat Beverly. The fact that he was one of your best perimeter defenders and overall team defenders last year, I think, is more an indictment on the defensive roster that you had constructed than anything else. Pat Beverly's not in the league right now. So that's the big piece, is they've really started to limit their liabilities on the defensive end that, you know, I think we've seen this defense, I know we've seen this defense in the top 10 basically all year, that it's a pretty significant sample size that shows you, yeah, this defense is good. You know, is it elite? By the numbers, no, I wouldn't classify it as elite, but it has been good enough. That game against the Cavs that you lost, you didn't lose because of your defense. They kept you in the game and gave you a chance. So I don't really have a lot of significant or pressing questions about this defense in the playoffs. That Pacers series, assuming that's your first-round matchup, as we said, we'll see, you know, what they need to change and if you get more confidence coming out of the game on Saturday and some tweaks they make defensively. But after that, you're going to have the Cavs. If you both get out of the first round, assuming the Bucks are the four seed, the Cavs in the second round, you know, you've played pretty competitive games against Cleveland this year. The playoffs are obviously always going to be a different story, but those first two games were decided by 3 points total. One of them you lost on a game-winning shot. You weren't playing obviously the greatest at the time of those two losses. This last one, I think parts of it you'd like to have back because of not only how things went the night before against the Orlando Magic, but your offense just wasn't good enough. Your defense kept you in that spot. So I don't feel like there are significant questions about this Bucks defense, which is the crazy thing. I think you feel pretty solid and feel like you know what you have defensively and feel like there might even be a gear that we haven't gotten to yet once we get into the playoffs and, you know, the scheduling and just being able to dig into one team specifically is going to benefit both teams of putting their focus there. The crazy part is it's the offense for a team with Giannis and Damian Lillard that we're talking about. Okay, we got to keep an eye on this. We got to see how they perform in fourth quarters. We got to see how they play in the clutch. But defensively, I don't have any of those questions. Now, having said that, maybe it's a disaster on Saturday and we revisit that whole thing and say, now, you got to change this, this, and this defensively if you're going to be playing the Pacers in the first round. But right now, that's not where I'm at for, what, with 17 games left, 67 games, right? 57, 67, whatever it is. 65 games throughout the course of the season here that the Bucks have played. Defense has been pretty consistent. So you're going to need that to continue Saturday night. Again, winner gets the tiebreaker between the Bucks and the Indiana Pacers. You're 37-28. They're 36-28. They play tomorrow against the Philadelphia 76ers. So if you want a chance to do some advanced scouting and see anything that might pop up in advance of that game, by all means, that's your chance with the Sixers, or the Pacers, I should say, in Philly tomorrow night to take on the Sixers. 7 o'clock tip on Saturday night for the Bucks and the Pacers. First game of a back-to-back is... Then you have an 8 o'clock tip Sunday night against the Oklahoma City Thunder. So, does not get easier against the 54-12 Oklahoma City Thunder. Again, shouts to our guy, Justin Superbuck, and especially if you had a chance to catch up with him at the game tonight. Check out his film work that he's done as well. Did a documentary that won awards 2 years ago, working on a new project with Mayim Bialik. So, shout out to Justin Superbuck for his countless years of Bucks fandom and memes that he has provided all of us Bucks fans and the experience that he got tonight at Fiserv Forum. 7 o'clock tip, Saturday nights, 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.